Okay, so you're wanting to put your AI project into a keyboard app. Tell me about it.
Oh, that idea. Yeah. Okay. Well, okay. I was thinking I want to send you this Riverside link, but like I have to go find it somewhere and then send it to you. I already built an extension on for Chrome where you can, it's called Chromebox. You can go and, you know about this one. You can go and save all your links there for stuff, except I'm on a phone. And even if you're replying to emails on your phone and you want like a quick reply, it would make sense to have a keyboard extension on your phone, which I think you can build, not in like not that hard in a way. So,
Oh, yeah. No, but I wanted to hear about your Promptbox keyboard extension. And also for people that don't know, so Promptbox essentially allows you to store all of your prompts that you use for different AI things. So it's kind of like it's like a folder file management thing, right? Where you have all your different prompts that you use for different AI models.
yeah, I use it. Yeah, you can use it for AI models, but recently I've actually been using it for email replies. So like you can use a
Okay.
backslash and then a shortcut key, and then it'll just auto-populate like a string of text with variables if you want it, variables. So I use it to save like passwords, like the last six digits of like bank accounts, so that I can like verify stuff easily, verification codes.
How would it work with a like with a Messenger or like a Apple keyboard app? How do those work?
I don't really know. So like on, like have you ever brought up the keyboard on your phone and then there's like these little apps, it's like there's like the Photos app or like a text app. So it'd be like that. I click Promptbox and then it would just give you like a bunch of saved text, and I would just click on the Riverside link and it'll just like paste it in. And then I wouldn't have to like go try to find it somewhere on my phone, copy it and then paste it to you. Does that make sense?
Actually, I heard of a guy making a ton of money with those keyboard apps. It's like super not saturated. Like no one's really
Ooh.
building it.
It's like the new
So
Chrome extension problem, right?
probably, yeah. I mean, but it's been around for a couple of years.
What's an example of a keyboard app that would do well? Like, I can't even imagine another because I don't use those.
I think that like, I mean, I think the biggest ones are just like the GIF ones, obviously. So you can come up with funny GIFs. I think those are really popular. And then people do like sticker ones. I think that there's probably, yeah, dude. I mean, I don't even use them a lot, but there's probably ones that can share different quotes or things. I heard someone say something about like integrating it with games. I'm not exactly sure how that works. Like they built a game into it or something.
Oh yeah, you can do games, right? Like I could like send you a chess request or something. I
Okay.
don't
Okay. Yeah. I see what you're.
know.
I see. Yeah. I see what you're saying. Yeah. So I think it's because it's kind of tricky to see like what the business use case is for a lot of them. That's probably why it hasn't been super built out. But yeah. I mean, for Promptbox, I feel like that would be a no-brainer if you could just have it built in, so you could do backslash and then essentially like a Chrome extension. But now it's just like a chat thing. All your saved like messages or text or whatever could populate in there.
Yeah, so you'd have like your Stripe link saved in there so you could like text people like a payment link pretty easily and stuff like that instead of having them use your computer. So yeah, I think there's a lot of I'll look into that for sure. I was gonna do a desktop app with Promptbox so that you could paste things like easily across all desktop apps too, but the permission stuff is too crazy hard, alone, to be honest. So anyways, that's one thing. Quick idea just because I didn't want to find that the link for this call to send to you. The next thing, I just got off a call with a guy who does automation for social media publishing, and he has these crazy scaled out systems. You drop your video into Dropbox or the Google Drive, and it'll distribute it to all 100 social media accounts with like AI descriptions and titles and like fixes it up.
And for
Yeah, it's crazy.
context, this is the same guy. He made a YouTube video that went like a YouTube video on how to do this. And instead of you trying to copy his YouTube video, you just reached out to him directly, right?
Yeah, he just calls with people. So it was a 15-minute call, and I had
Did
my
he charge you
assistant on.
for it?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. But he won't mention a plan that's like under 5K, which is fine.
Okay.
But like, it's smart of him to do that. Like, he shouldn't be trying to sell me like a $200 program
Right,
on a
right.
call that he's taking. So, anyways, I had my assistant join that call too, so that, he's like, yeah, what you should probably do is pay for the $4,000 thing. You get weekly calls with me, and you get chat with me and my people on Slack, and you get like all these templates, and then your assistant can just go do all the stuff that I would normally do, and you'll have access to me for when you get stuck because like it sounds like you're trying to do some complicated stuff. And the only thing that's complicated that I'm trying to do is I want to take one video, like a clip like from this, and then I want it to go to like literally 70 different accounts. And that's hard because it's like not just TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, whatever. It's like 10 accounts within TikTok. Like within TikTok.
Yeah, Instagram.
So it's like super, super scaled. And so he's like, yeah, he's like trying to tell me stuff like, remember, your content has to be good. And I'm like, I know, like, I'll focus on the content. I just want to make sure that if I'm focusing so hard on making good content, that it's getting maximum distribution.
Yeah.
Like a numbers game, you know?
You don't want to put in all the effort and it like not have the chance, especially like today with algorithms. It's just like you need to post it as many times as you can. Like, again, I've heard people edit the same video 20 times and like number 15 went viral on TikTok and the rest of them were like duds. So it like just happened. It's the exact same
like,
content.
One account gets shadow banned and you find out 3 months later and you're like, congratulations, you've wasted your entire 3 months, like, you know,
right.
for a channel that's shadow banned. Like, no, I'm not going to, if I'm going to spend the time to make good content, I want maximum distribution. I don't even want to post one video without distribution. He actually suggested, I have the automation, but I also have people like hand posting stuff too. And I was like,
really?
It's wild. So
what was his reasoning for it?
Algorithm. Wow.
Dude, so yeah, here's the like, thing.
Yeah,
my brother. So Dalen, my brother, who has Civilian Tactical, the YouTube channel with over 1 million subscribers, and he just passed 1 billion views on it. He's so superstitious. He will not use a scheduler to post his videos. He has to have them hand posted by either him or his assistant.
That's so crazy. Yeah, it's like, oh, you got to pick the audio. You got to like use the in-house editor for like each system.
Yeah.
So it's like, do I spend the money and build out this amazing scalable thing, or do I just pay a dude hourly to go and hand edit, hand post everything on all those different channels? I don't know. I think the answer is always somewhere in between. Like, you want a level of automation so that your just bases are covered, but then you should be experimenting. All I want to have to do is experiment on the actual content itself. So
I
actually different hooks, different locations, different setups, different topics. Different ways of talking, like politics, business. Let's talk about current events. I'm going to be iterating on content. I want someone else to be in charge of iterating the way that distribution is taken care of.
Do you feel like you would just hire like a person to edit and post it all, or would you hire a person to be in charge of like? I guess at some point you have to scale up, or you need someone in charge of like all your marketing efforts. You just give them an idea; they're in charge of experimenting, and they have a bunch of people underneath of them. Do you think it's a good idea to do that like now though? Because obviously you can hire people, virtual assistants, for cheap. They might not be able to be as good with all of the strategies, but they can, let's say they could just edit the videos well. They might not be like so much thinking about all the different ways that you can growth hack the videos. Some of them might, some of them won't. Would you ever just hire like one person to be like your marketing manager and then like five virtual assistants that talk to them that are now scheduling and editing and doing everything by hand?
Yeah, this is like the conversation between automation and systemization, right? It's like, you're talking about a system. I think you have to do both probably so that you can enhance their workflow or something. But yeah, I think, is that what you're going to do? I mean, you just hired an editor, right? And did that yesterday. Is it good?
Yeah, so I just hired, this is kind of crazy because this is my first time hiring like a, in person. So I have a podcast, the podcast studio that I'm going to be launching in Arizona. I need someone in house to like, if I'm interviewing people, that to like monitor all of the audio levels and like the video and all that kind of stuff. And then I'll also rent it out. So if people want to just come and use the studio, they can. So I can't obviously be there for all of it because I'm running AI Box and this podcast and 100 other things in life. So I'm super busy, but so I hired a person. They're going to be there in person. She lives like 10 minutes down the road from it. So that's really convenient because she can just drive there 4 hours a day starting. I think if the studio gets busier, then I'll probably hire more editors. I could see like having a bunch of editors because it kind of plays two roles for me. It's like, number one, it's a place where I'll be doing in-person like podcasts, and like I'll rent it out to make money from it or whatever. So it kind of covers itself. But then the other thing is, I think it's also going to like be my, I'm creating like a ton of podcasts right now. Like, I have this one and three other major podcasts I run, and I have like a handful of new ones I'm going to do. So I'm essentially creating a podcast network. I'm talking with companies about like getting ads for all of the podcasts and like getting money from that. So I also think eventually I will have in-house talent that comes to the studio and records to go on top of my podcast that I've created on my network, kind of like Dave Ramsey or whatever else. So yeah, I think I'll be doing like in-person stuff as well as, and that studio will be like the hub where everyone kind of goes to. So I'm trying to get beyond just myself doing podcasts as well. I think that there's a lot of value in being your own personal brand. I think it's really important. Look at every big person you follow in your niche and like they're creating their own content. So obviously there's a lot of value in it. But at the same time, I also think from a business perspective of like just trying to get eyeballs, I can get way more eyeballs if I create a network beyond just my own self. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. And one thing that I've also recently done is create, so my podcast network where I've created like a bunch of different podcasts, all kind of in the same niche as what I'm doing. I repost my current content onto the podcast network to test out different titles to see what kind of works organically. What's crazy though is that my main podcast, which is literally like a top 100 ranked podcast in technology, AI Chat, it's, you know, it's doing great, whatever, but my network of podcasts I've created on the side of it actually do like 70. So of all the streams I get or downloads I get every month, 75% of them are from my network and only 25% are from like my main podcast. So like the network has already like tripled what I'm doing. So I obviously see that that's kind of a path I got to just like run with it. I can't like, there's only so much you can scale one podcast, I think, immediately in the immediate. And if you have like 20 podcasts, it's way easier to get more views.
Yeah, that's where all the growth hacking comes in. That's where all the strategy comes into play, because you already have good product market fit into things you talk about and the way that you talk about them. When you, for your video editor, what are her responsibilities? What does she think she's going to be doing off the bat? Like, we have editing and publishing.
Yeah, so I mean, the only things that I've given that I'll be having her do at the beginning. So really, her job is to like manage the studio. So when people come in, like help the clients, film them, edit their stuff. But obviously, the studio is going to take a while to ramp up. And so in the meantime, I'll just have her edit all my videos. Like I do a daily YouTube video. I'll have her chop it into shorts and post it. All the stuff that like I should be doing, but I'm not. I'll just get her to do all of that stuff. And then as the studio grows,
she's going to be in-house everything then, in-house editing and distribution.
Yeah, exactly. And anything else. I mean, it's pretty much just like 4 hours a day of work, with video. So mostly editing. I think at the beginning, when I first launched the studio, I'll probably go there every day for maybe a week or two, and film like podcasts there, to get all the kinks worked out with like all the equipment and everything, but also, yeah, just to get the flow going. So I'm excited for it. It's going to be cool. The studio is awesome. Like, it looks really great. We're going to have three camera angles. It's going to be way more, like, production quality is going to be way higher than just me sitting in my studio here, which is, like, fine for most things. But I'm excited to kind of, like, to take it to the next level on, like, production quality.
Dude, honestly, I'm excited to take my quality down a notch. And I know that's not, like, crazy because I'm, like, out here with traffic and AirPods. Well, like, dude, I'm going to go, like, play, like, some volleyball and, like, do this podcast, like, mid-play or something. Dude, I'll be like, you guys don't know, like, what real life looks like for me, but this is it, baby. Like, it's, yeah. You know, like, come on. Like, if you're scrolling, dude, and you see, like, a video of Alex Ramosi, like, in the studio, you might watch it. You might not. Dude, if you're scrolling and you see, like, third-hand footage of him talking to someone at a gas station, dude, you're watching that. You're watching it 100%. It doesn't matter how bad it is. Like, you're really interested in knowing, like, what he's talking about to, like, a real person in real life. You're interested to know, like, what his calls look like behind the scenes. Maybe you can't get away with that, like, off the bat because he's built credibility with, like, all his stuff. But, like, now, dude, I would watch the worst shot footage of him and love it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I think especially as you build an audience and they get, like, attached to you, then they want, like, the authentic side. So yeah, I think that's going to be a big
bathroom podcast. You know, you're just taking a dump and boom, like just fire up the podcast.
And that's really where you get the viewers from. They want it to be that authentic. I think
they
want to
know what you're doing in the bathroom, dude. They want to violate your privacy, dude. Haven't we seen influencers? Why do you think they post their most intimate, like, relationship statuses, like their arguments? their apologies. Everything gets online now, dude.
Yeah, I think it's exciting, especially right now. Like, the more you experiment with your content, you'll see what works out best. So I think that that's an interesting strategy. I'll be curious to watch you go through that as well.
Dude, haven't you seen TikTok videos? They're putting on makeup. They're going on walks. They're cooking food. They're cutting their own hair.
That's such an interesting thing. I was thinking about that recently. I actually do think that that is like a really good strategy. For some reason, when I'm scrolling through TikTok and someone's like actively doing something and they're talking, like I'll listen to what they're talking, but like for some reason, I'm like watching them like fix the keys on their keyboard while they tell me like a story about something. It's so weird that like maybe your brain is trying to figure out why these two seemingly unrelated things are like connected. Like, why are they telling me the story while they're doing this? So it's like you're like kind of confused. So you watch the whole thing. I don't know like what level of like interest there is, because I wouldn't just watch a video of someone fixing the keys on their keyboard, and I probably wouldn't just watch someone telling that story, but somehow together I'll watch it.
Yeah, it makes you feel like you're just hanging out with them, I think. It seems so casual and relatable. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'll try one where I'm like scrolling on Instagram, and like as I'm scrolling, I'm just like talking. Because, you know, what's more relatable than like scrolling? Or I'll take a shower, and it'll just be like my head up, and I'll be like shampooing my hair, and I'll just be like, you know, giving kind of like a like master class on.
Bring the shower curtain down to just like chest height and just like have your head over the shower curtain.
Right. With my AirPods in, they're just getting like destroyed. So, like, you can't even hear.
Sure, you can buy some waterproof headphones.
Through relatable experience, I'll experiment with like changing my tire on my car. I'll be like trying to like jack it up. It'll take me like half an hour to like get the tire off.
Oh my gosh. But dude, so
what else is new with you?
With me, well, we are on AI Box getting ramped to launch our alpha in like 3 months. So
I heard you told your investors to take a hike.
No, yeah, it was actually great. I did not tell my investors to take a hike, but I did have a call with them all yesterday. We have an advisory board, so when we did we crowdfunded for AI Box and raised like 500,000, and then we raised like 100,000 before that. And when we did the crowdfunding, anyone that invested 25,000 or over is in the advisory board. So we have like once a quarter, we have like a meeting with all of them, and I get their feedback on different features or things we're doing, what they're looking for.
Is that like a live call like this?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I get them all on a call and talk with them all.
What's attendance like on that? Like, everyone showed up?
I think, so we have 6 people right now, and then I think one of them couldn't connect because he was on a flight, but his Wi-Fi on the flight wasn't working, and then one of them was in another country. So yeah, we had 4 of them on. Yeah, no, it was great. I mean, I really appreciate their feedback. They're from a lot of different areas, like different industries and stuff, so it's not like, it's not just like, you know, all the people you would expect. They're like all super, super different. And it's good because with AI Box, like essentially you can build apps, like AI applications, but they're in like every industry. And so it's like, I obviously have a huge bias towards marketing, like, and you do too probably. But like when we talk on this podcast, we talk about all these marketing things we're going to do and growth hacks and whatever. But like when I'm talking to these people, they're like, yeah, I'm from the agriculture industry. And what we really want with AI is for us to be able to build like a tool that can blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, never would have thought of that. Or legal stuff. I'm like, never would have thought of that. Or like HR, you know, there's like so many areas of like, there's so many different tools you can build. I don't think about them. So it's really good for me to have kind of that group where they're all from, they have a bunch of different backgrounds. And anyways, it's good. I'm stoked. We'll be launching and getting it, getting people tested out the platform in like 3 months. So that's really
exciting.
That's
amazing. In 3 months?
Yeah. So
like, it's, yeah, I imagine, dude, if you took like that agricultural person, you're like, hey, what's like the master template like you guys need? And you just made that a template, kind of like a Maker, a Zap, like a Zapier integration, or, you know, like just make that template and then make that template. Because, you know, with marketing, you guys are in every industry. Same with AppRabbit. We can build apps for like churches, schools, fitness influencers, everything. You kind of have to choose a niche to go into first and then like scale it, because you can't just mass market without like templates for like deep templates, like deep tools, like deep insights at least one industry first, you
know? Because of that, like my bias, I'm gonna obviously, like, when it launches, the marketing templates are gonna be insane on there. Like the marketing apps will be amazing. And I can't promise anything like on the legal or all the other sides, but I figure like if you kind of start there and get a big audience, it will grow and you'll get other stuff in the future. So
dude,
that's
so
like
the
my
guy who,
I think.
The guy I just talked to, he just set up like some Zapier automations and stuff for an agency. He just charged 15 grand for it. And he just like went in there and like created some automation for them. Dude, you should get a guy like that on board using AI Box once it's all flowing for marketing stuff. And all these like automation, productivity, marketing hat guru guys, they'll be using AI Box to like scale their systems and they'll all have
exactly. Exactly. So pretty much what he's built there, he'll be able to build on ours and it'll be a lot more scalable. It'll have a lot more functionality for him to embed it into like his software. If he wants to just have a website that does that and it looks like it's its own SaaS, he could build it out on AI Box, embed it into his website, and you know, he could build all his logins and all his payment stuff, but run it through us and make it way faster and easier.
That's one thing Zapier and Make don't have very good. They don't have a marketplace where you can sell your own like Zapier templates and stuff. At least not that
exactly.
I know of.
He's got to get on a call with you and try to sell you on it and every single individual person. So that's what we're doing with the marketplace is you can build those cool tools and templates. Then you just have them on there and people can go buy them.
Yeah. So like he's like, I have some templates, but it's like a service though. So like his guys need to like get the Airtable thing and then like connect it to like Google Drive and then do all the stuff. If I was in that call and I'm like, yeah, I need to publish short form vertical content to like 70 different things, he should have been able to say, I have a template for that. It costs $500 and it'll like take away all the work that you'd have to do.
He should be like, here's the link to it. Drop your Google Drive there and any video you put into this Google Drive folder, it's going to run through the automation.
Yeah, it'll have like a questionnaire. It's like, you know, say something like, do you want descriptions to be built with AI? And I'll say yes. Be like, do you want it like repurposed using this random third party like Opus or someone else? I'd say yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Plug and play, baby. That's the name of the game.
So yeah, we're getting stoked. We're gonna be launching that. Did the big call yesterday. Yesterday was great. Did that. One other thing I was gonna say that's epic that I got going on is this weekend. Okay, so local networking. Honestly, this is a lesson I learned from you, I think, because you crushed it when you were raising money for AppRabbit. You went and raised like $500,000. And this was like you raised it through like Spokane where you live, like Angel Networking
Angel
Group.
Alliance.
Angel Alliance. Yeah. And, you know, to be honest, I didn't know that those local like Angel Alliances, all that kind of local stuff existed. So since I've raised money for AI Box, it's kind of something I've started looking at here in Arizona. And since finding that out, I found out there is a lot of like really legit angels and investors here in Arizona. Arizona is actually, way, way better than I thought. One big guy, he is a PayPal co-founder. His name's Jack Selby. He, after the exit from PayPal, he moved here to Arizona. He started his own venture fund called AZVC. And anyways, he's been around here forever. So someone told me about this recently and I was like, oh man. So I've been trying to get in contact with him and kind of just get into the network. And I'm like, you know, whether it's him or other people around him, like I need to probably, you know, network with these people, whether they're investing in my stuff or I can help support whatever, you know, what their companies are doing. And like, you know, networking with other local founders and stuff and whatever. So especially with the new podcast studio, I'm going to be getting all these guys and interviewing all the local AI founders, AI investors, all those kind of people. So I like the in-person stuff. Anyways, so something that's been cool is literally from one guy I met like 3 months ago, he introduced me to another guy who I went and like had lunch with. And then that guy like introduced me or like sent me intros to like four other people. One of those people sent me an intro to like this other guy. It's so funny because it's like every guy I meet, and actually I think the podcast is the secret to this. So if anyone's interested in like this kind of like viral networking, I guess you call it, what I do is I'm like, I jump on the call and I'm like, hey, what you're doing is awesome. I'd love to have you on my in-person podcast. And then if they're like down, I'm like, cool. Do you know anyone else that would be good to come on the podcast? I'm like, oh yeah, here's like four of my other founder friends that would be good that are working in the space. So it kind of just like grows. Anyways, starting with one guy who introduced me to another, to another, to another, I finally got a connection with someone that after meeting them, talked to them, they were cool. I was like, yeah, let's get on the podcast. Then he was like, yeah, is there anyone like in the Valley that like you don't know that you want to meet? And I'm like, well, actually, like I've been trying to meet like Jack Selby. He's been super like, you know, hard to get in contact with. He's like, oh yeah, he's impossible. But he's like
the PayPal Mafia, baby.
PayPal Mafia, dude. Yeah, it's hard to crack. But he was like, funny you should say that. I actually had lunch with him like 2 weeks ago. And I'm like, oh, no way. And he's like, yeah, like I was posting a lot of stuff on LinkedIn about like Arizona and founders, and he kept liking it. So I DM'd him and was like, hey, you want to meet up? And so like they went and got lunch. Anyways, that guy just invited me to something this weekend, to an event where Jack Selby's VC fund, AZVC, they bought like a table at the event, and he's got a bunch of his VC buddies, but he told this guy, like, because this guy's kind of like the founder connector guy. He's like, yeah, bring like four of your founder friends. So anyways, ooh, I got an invite to that. Now,
yeah, baby.
At the table with them. And it's not like, yeah, it's not like I'm going to go there and like try to sell them on investing on me or anything, but like, I just want these guys in my network. I want to meet them. I want to get them on the podcast. Like, you have to network to make all these connections, and eventually there's going to be a way that they'll help you, you'll help them, and if it's like, you know, a win-win on all of that. It's networking, and especially local networking, I've realized is pretty like valuable.
Dude, you need to bring a microphone and just kind of ambush them a little bit. Just be like, hey, can I ask you like one question? And do the question you should ask him. Just be like, hey, you're part of the PayPal mafia. That's amazing. Obviously Elon Musk was a part of that too. Like, what are your thoughts on like his trajectory and like what he's doing now with like AI, Tesla, you know, SpaceX, etc. That'd be an awesome little clip that I would totally watch.
That would be funny, but like I also feel like that'd be kind of like annoying, because like
it would imagine
if you made it so big
and then all your question to him is just about Elon. Like it would be annoying for him. Yeah.
Like imagine if we're in the same company, it sells, we both make a lot of money, you go and just live your life, and then I go and make like five, you know, trillion dollar companies.
Dude, I can't imagine that. My imagination can't.
And then everyone comes to you and asks me, what's your opinion on Jaden Schaefer's trajectory? You're like, well, let me tell you.
I'm like, his trajectory to what? His gambling addiction and janitor job? Yeah. Is it in descent? you're right, though. That would not be good. It'd be better if you knew what he was up to and then ask him questions about that. But, you know, once you get to know him, you're buddies with him, then
I'll be like, great. So can you give me an intro to Elon? Yeah, exactly.
Intro to Elon, dude. And then he'll be like, oh, you're just using me, dude. You're different than using me. No, yeah. So the thing about local investors, and people always overlook it because they're like, oh, look, all these big venture firms, like they're giving millions of dollars away. Like they're all on TechCrunch and they're like kind of in the news, and like, oh, Insight Ventures. Oh, Insight Ventures. The local people have a lot of money too. And guess what they're passionate about? They're not that passionate about like bottom line making money. They're more passionate about like helping local young people, helping young people actualize themselves, like make them better, grow businesses they care about. They want like a feel-good thing. That's why so many of these local places, they'll invest in like global warming, startup companies, diversity and inclusion, startup companies, companies that are trying to like reduce waste in communities. I see that stuff all the time.
Maybe that's because you're in Washington.
Dude, okay, that's probably true. But when I went to these local guys, they don't have a lot of like tech companies that they meet with here in Spokane. And so I'm not sure they fully understood what my company does. Honestly, I'm not sure that they fully understand now, like a year after we've raised money. But they knew I was ambitious. They like that I'm local. And even now when I go and give my investor updates and I tell them I hired a new person, their first question is, are they in Spokane? And it's like irrelevant. Like, does not matter. does not matter to me at all. I'd rather just find the people that can get the job done. And so
They have a big whiteboard on their wall that's like how many jobs I've created in Spokane, and they check it every time you make a new hire.
You have to know your investors' incentives. And so if they're about building a community and they want to be able to walk into a little office space and see like their little, you know, their venture, their little operation, you know, working, that gives them a huge sense of pride. And so you have to know.
Totally.
So go local, and go local outside of your city too, right? So Spokane happened to be big enough where I can do this, but if you're from a small town, go to neighboring towns and go to the largest city near you. And like, if you're near Seattle or if you're near Toronto or wherever you are, they'll still see you as local. You only have to show up to them maybe once or twice a month to make an appearance. But, you know, just use the local thing. It's really good.
Yep. 100%. So anyways, that's my latest thing. To anyone that's listening today, we appreciate you jumping in on the Founder Built podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in. Make sure to rate us wherever you get your podcasts. I mean, I know this outro sounds professional, but I hope you get like the raw vibe. This really is, Matt and I just started this because we do this call, like we'll just ambush each other every couple days with our updates of what we're doing and asking advice. We're like, we got to record this and create a podcast out of this. So if you got value, let us know. If you got questions, let us know. Appreciate it. But hope that you all have an amazing rest of your day.
Yeah, this is great.